Were you there? That's an invitation to put ourselves into this story, which is a very human thing to do. This is what we do with stories, right? We put ourselves right in there. We imagine what it would be like to live out this story that we see on the screen or that we read in the novel, don't we? And we like to identify with different characters in the story. In fact, there are two types of characters that we choose to identify with. One is going to be the hero. We like to identify with the hero. When you're a kid and you're running around playing with your friends and everybody is taking on like a character, you know, I'm the Lone Ranger. That was me. I'm always the Lone Ranger because he was the hero, right? And now it's you know, the big epic stories, the Avengers and Lord of the Rings and Star Wars, and we imagine ourselves as the hero in those stories. But if we can't be the hero, sometimes we imagine ourselves as the victim because we can relate. We see someone experience injustice and undeserved suffering and pain, and we go, I get it. I know what that's like. I hope they get justice in the end. But one type of character that we never voluntarily identify with is the villain, the bad person, the one who's causing pain, the one who's oppressing others. But tonight, as we engage in this story, Jesus's journey on the cross, that's who we are. We're the villain. And you're gonna see that show up in a few different ways in this passage we're gonna go through this evening. And I just invite you to put yourself in that story, to imagine yourself as the crowd mocking, the soldiers crucifying, the religious leaders. Just imagine yourselves in those roles, because ultimately, those are the people Jesus died for, and that includes you and me. So we're going to read through the account of the crucifixion from Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 27. And so as usual, if you see something on the screen that's underlined, please read that aloud. And the rest of it will be read by the Coulters here.
Matthew 27, 21 to 26. Which of the two do you want me to release to you? Asked the governor. Barabbas, they answered. What shall I do then with Jesus who is called the Messiah? Pilate asked. They all answered.
Crucify.
Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they all shouted louder.
Crucify.
Then Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but instead that an uproar was starting. He took the water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. I am innocent of this man's blood, he said. It is your responsibility. All of the people answered.
His blood is on us and on our children.
Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified.
Were you there? Could you imagine yourself there in the crowd, calling for the crucifixion of Jesus? The honest answer probably is no. You know Jesus. You know what he's done. You know the kind of life that he lived. You know where he is now, standing for us. You know Jesus. You can't imagine yourself calling for his death. But there were people in that crowd who knew Jesus also. They just refused to accept him for who he was, mostly because of fear. Fear of losing control, fear of being wrong, fear of missing out. And all these fears and these accompanying desires for control or pleasure or respect, they amount to the same thing. They amount to a rejection of Jesus and ultimately calling for his death. Did Jesus know that we would call for his death? Yes. And still he died. Because love means doing what is best, not what is easy. Love means doing what is best, not what is popular. Love means doing what is best, even when it costs everything.
Matthew 27, 27 through 31. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him and
twisted together a crown of thorns, set it on his head.
They put a staff in his right hand. Then they knelt in front of him and mocked him.
King of the Jews,
they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him.
Were you there in that guard room when the soldiers are beating and spitting on and mocking the Son of God? No, you weren't there. But can you imagine yourself in that role? Can you imagine yourself being one of those soldiers, one of those guards whose job it is to inflict as much pain and humiliation on a prisoner as possible? And not caring who this man is, what he says about his destiny, not caring about the people who are outside that love him. Can you imagine yourself doing the things to Jesus that they did, pretending that he's a king out of mockery? I mean, we weren't there, but do we sometimes call him Lord and still refuse to submit to his authority? Do we sometimes offer him a borrowed robe and a pretend crown and then consistently choose our own way over his? Did Jesus know that we would disrespect him like this? Did he know that we would let him be a pretend king in our own hearts when really we wear the crowns? Did he know that we would mock him? Yes. And still he died. Because love means doing what is best, not what is easy. Love means doing what is best, not what is popular. Love means doing what is best, even if it costs everything.
Matthew 27:33-37. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it.
And they had crucified him. They divided up his clothes by casting lots.
And sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him.
Were you there when Jesus is offered sour wine to quench his thirst? Not the kind of offering that you would want to give to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is it? It's not something that's helpful. God's people were commanded for centuries to offer up sweet-smelling fragrances to him out of gratitude, out of acknowledgement that every good thing comes from God. Were you there when they offered the vinegar instead? No? No, you weren't there. But have you and I done the same thing? Have we offered up our acts of righteousness as a gift to God when in fact they're tainted with our own bad motivations, our own pride, our own insecurities? We've offered up things to him that were not pleasing, that he has refused. Did Jesus know that we were going to offer him sour wine instead of sweet fragrances? That we were going to, in our hearts, keep ourselves at the center while with our actions pretending that he's our king? He did. He knew that we would do that. And still he died. Because love means doing what is best, not what is easy. Love means doing what is best, not what is popular. And love means doing what is best, even if it costs everything.
Matthew 27:45-50. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And at about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?" That is,
"My God, why have you forsaken me?"
And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them at once ran to take a sponge, filled it with the sour wine, and put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, "And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice,
were you there when they called out to him to save himself? When they put the pressure on him to defend his divinity by bringing himself down off the cross? Prove it," they said. There's a line in a song that we sing called "How Deep the Father's Love" that says, "Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers." Most of the time, I can barely get through that line because I can hear my mocking voice calling out with the scoffers here in this passage. Do we expect God to prove himself to us by putting little tests in front of him? God, if you're real, God, if you love me, God, if you want me to be happy, then jump through the hoops. Do the things that I've asked you to do. If you want me to believe in you, if you want me to give my life to you, then show me by answering all my prayers and granting me all my wishes. Do we sometimes do the same thing that the scoffers did in this passage and dare Jesus to prove his divinity according to our standards? And did he know that we would do that? Did he know that we would be so bold and ridiculous as to challenge him to prove himself to us over and over? Yes, he did. And still he died. Would you read these phrases with me now? Love means doing what is best, not what is easy. Love means doing what is best, not what is popular. Love means doing what is best, even if it costs everything.
Matthew 27:51. And behold, and the earth shook and the rocks were split when the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place. They were filled with awe and said,
now it seems we finally get to something positive. Were you there when this pagan Roman acknowledges the divinity of Jesus just a few minutes too late, after he's already died? And this person who was far from God looks at the Son of God and knows exactly who he's looking at in that moment. Were you there? Did you hear the soldier cry out his faith when it was too late? No? But what will it take for you to recognize who Jesus really is? To call out in your own voice, "Surely this is the Son of God." As we sit here this evening and we think about the scenes that are happening here that Matthew's telling us about, do you recognize Jesus for who he is? He's not someone to be taken lightly. He's not passive. He's not weak. The ability to allow someone to take your life when you don't have to, that's a kind of strength that we'll never know. Did he know that we were going to be slow to accept him for who he really is? Did he know that we were going to make him smaller in our minds and in our lives than who he really is? Yes, he did. And still he died. Because love means doing what is best, not what is easy. Love means doing what is best, not what is popular. Love means doing what is best, even when it costs everything.
Matthew 27, 57 through 60. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock.
Were you there when they took his body down from the cross? And in this moment, for those who love him, all seems lost. No one who cared about Jesus thought what was happening was best. They couldn't look at this situation, their friend, their savior, their rabbi. For some of them, he was their healer. He was the one who set them free. They couldn't look at his death and say, this is good. This is best. This is right. Everything in them wanted to scream, this cannot be what's best. It can't be. And I can't imagine what that Saturday was like for them. The silence. Jesus' voice had been the voice in their ears for 3 years. And suddenly, he's not speaking. Do we really believe that sometimes sacrifice is what's best? I know we believe it when we're on this side of the sacrifice and we look at what Jesus did and we're so grateful and we know that's exactly what I needed, Jesus. But when it's our turn, when God calls us to step out, do we know that sometimes sacrifice is exactly what's needed? Sometimes it costs everything. Do we know? Do we know what love really is? Because love means doing what is best, not what is easy. Love means doing what is best, not what is popular. Love means doing what is best, even if it costs everything. And tonight, I pray that you take a step forward in faith, in a specific kind of faith, a faith that trusts that God knows what is best. God knows better than you. He knows better than me. God knows better than the people that you're trying to impress with your intelligence or your wit or your financial success. God knows what is best better than your parents, better than your kids, better than your grandkids. God alone knows what is best for you. And sometimes what is best involves sacrifice. Sometimes what is best costs everything. And my prayer tonight is that we would take a step in faith, looking at the sacrifice of Jesus, and our faith would impress upon our hearts that I can trust God to know what's best, even when things are dark, even when to my eyes this does not look good. If God calls me to it, I can trust him. He knows what's best. We're going to end tonight with a song again and invite you just to sit quietly, take this in, and then when the song is over, we are dismissed. I just ask you to kind of keep this atmosphere of quiet meditation as you leave. Thank you.